Does he really think he's fooling me? Obi-Wan's exasperation with his Padawan did not show on his face. Anakin's attempts to hide his excitement may have tricked the others, but Obi-Wan felt it charge the air. He had never seen Anakin compete in a pod race, and Qui-Gon had not given him any details, but he knew how outrageously dangerous pod racing was. Pilots sat in open cockpits, racing fragile crafts that were powered by massive engines tethered to the racer by flexible cables. "Obi-Wan, my friend," Didi spoke in a low tone at his elbow.
"A word?"
Liviana had received a call on her comlink and had turned away, so Obi-Wan followed Didi a few paces away from the others.
"I just wanted to say," Didi began, smoothing his tunic with plump fingers, "how my entire being is convulsed with joy to see your handsome and noble face once again."
"You want a favor," Obi-Wan said flatly. Didi looked wounded.
"Not a favor, some company on a little errand."
Obi-Wan began to turn away in dismissal.
All right, the truth, a favor," Didi said quickly.
Obi-Wan closed his eyes for a second in irritation. "Qui-Gon would ask for my patience."
"What is it?" "Shortly after arriving in Eusebus, I bought a swoop bike," Didi said. "I thought it would make navigating these crowded streets much easier. However, hardly had I gone 2 meters when the engine whoosh, kablam!"
Didi's fingers traced an explosion in the air.
"I want my money back, yet I fear that slimy son of a monkey lizard will refuse me."
"But not if a Jedi is along," Obi-Wan said wearily.
"You would not have to do a thing. Just stand there and look invincible. Maybe casually take your lightsaber out and test it."
"No, no lightsaber."
"Then your presence only."
"Do you really think," Obi-Wan said exasperated, "that I have time to help you make up a bad deal?"
"Of course not. You're so busy being strong and good," Didi said. "But while we are together, I can give you a behind-the-scenes sneak peek look at the games. Bog is my son-in-law, and on the council, I have a unique perspective."
Didi could see that Obi-Wan was unmoved.
"Now, don't do it for Qui-Gon's sake. I would never want you to remember how much he loved me and how many times he helped me. Don't even mention his beloved name."
"I don't have to," Obi-Wan said. "You just did." But Obi-Wan knew from the first moment that Didi had drawn him aside that he would help him. The truth was that Obi-Wan had a soft spot for Didi, just as vulnerable as Qui-Gon's had been. Still, there were limits. "I will give you 10 minutes, Obi-Wan said.
"You are the best and kindest friend I ever..."
9 minutes, 57 seconds. Didi's mouth snapped shut.
"I will tell Astri. One moment."
Didi dashed off, and Ciri came up next to Obi-Wan.
"You are worse than Qui-Gon," she said in an amused tone.
Obi-Wan shrugged. "I'm still his Padawan in many ways. Rygal and I are going with Liviani. She has some swoops available for us so we can get an overview of the area. We're sending the Padawans off on their own. The opening rituals will begin in a few minutes." When Anakin had first seen True, he had immediately wanted to spend time with him. Now, he could hardly wait to leave him behind. This wasn't True's fault. Anakin just wanted time alone to explore. About pod racing. He walked alongside Ferris and True. The streets were crowded, and they had trouble staying together.
"The opening rituals are at Stadium 1, Ferris said. "We could take an air taxi, but there don't seem to be many around."
"We can get there on Transit Yellow," True said. 4 stops. I memorized the transit system maps on the way here."
"It's the perfect opportunity for us to see all sorts of beings from all over the galaxy," Ferris said. "We should observe customs and protocol."
Leave it to Ferris to have a lesson plan for the afternoon, Anakin thought. He had more important things to do, like check out the pod racers. Of course, Obi-Wan hadn't asked him to check out the pod racers, but he had left him free to choose what he wanted to see. Anakin assured himself that he wasn't disobeying Obi-Wan by going. Still, he didn't want to advertise his plans to his fellow Padawans. He could trust True, but Ferris was another matter. It would be just like Ferris to make a big deal of it.
"I'll catch up with you later," he told Ferris and True. I have something I need to check out first.
Disappointment clouded True's silvery eyes.
Oh?
Ferris gave him a glance that was more pointed.
Obi-Wan asked you to do something?
Anakin could not lie, not even to Ferris. He pretended he had not heard him over the noise of the crowd. He turned to go, and True leaned over and spoke softly in his ear.
Transit red, end of the line.
So True did know where he was headed.
You're a good friend,
Anakin said, as he dashed off before Ferris could say anything more. Eusebius had converted its largest air taxis to a free transit system. He found Transit Red and hopped aboard. At the last stop on Transit Red, the buildings ended abruptly.
Now what?
Anakin wondered as he descended from the air taxi and looked from right to left. He closed his eyes and summoned the Force. He felt it rise from the red dust and bound off the hills back at him. And then he felt the living Force as a wave that gathered momentum and broke over him in a shower of light.
There!
He took off toward the hills to his left. Well, if this mission was supposed to teach him about the living Force, he doubted there was much to learn. Sometimes he thought he was in better touch with the living Force than his master. Obi-Wan lived in his head. His emotions were reserved. It wasn't that Obi-Wan lacked compassion, Anakin mused. It was just that there was a little more distance between him and other living beings. Qui-Gon had not been able to pass along his connection to the living Force to his Padawan, Anakin felt.